Blog Talk Radio.
Earlier today against the Pistons in Auburn Hills. We'll talk more about that. We'll also talk, give a little preview with the series between them and our Cross River rivals, the Nets. Even though they were never technically our rivals, because when we're good, they're bad, and when they're bad, we're good. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, we'll give a little preview on that. And, of course, talk a little baseball. A little hot stove. Before we shortly after we went off the air last week, there was reports, you know, going out that Mets hired their manager, Terry Collins, and Tuesday morning, that came into fruition. Terry Collins was named the next skipper, I believe the 20th skipper in Mets history, and Jerry Manuel's successor. We'll discuss that also. We'll discuss the Yankees as Yankees, you know, do their yearly Christmas shopping, getting the best available players, like Cliff Lee,
yep.
And, you know, Derek Jeter, you know, will they re-sign him, and how much? We'll get into that, and of course Mariano. And we'll also talk about a former Yankee, a two-time Yankee. He finds a new home. We'll discuss that also, and we'll you know, touch up a little bit on the hockey. You know, keep track of how the local teams are doing. And for the Islander fans, not really good, but we'll discuss that a little later also. And of course, we'll talk a little football, as Giants, you know, they rallied against the Jaguars to win. And of course, we'll recap that Jets win against the Bengals on Thursday, and give you a little preview against their rivals, the Patriots, next Monday. And last but not least, we will end off with a little sports entertainment. Give a little recap, you know, what's going on in professional wrestling, and you know how it is on this show, sports entertainment and everything else. Feel free to call, you know, make a contribution if you'd like, folks, and don't be afraid to voice your opinion. Without further ado, I guess we'll lead off with yours and my New York Knickerbockers.
Yeah, yesterday was a crushing loss at home. And like you said in the beginning, they've been playing better on the road than at the Garden for some reason. I don't know why.
I guess maybe they're not dealing with the pressure. I don't know.
I don't know if it's Spike Lee or the celebrities.
Dancers, I don't know.
Crossbow, I don't know.
I don't know. But they just have that confidence on the road. I mean, it's strange. I mean, you know, in order for you to be a good team in the NBA, and Knicks are, I mean, they have ways to go to be a good team. I mean, they are mediocre. They had to go on a 5-game winning streak just so they could reach mediocrity.
Yeah.
At then 8-8 record. Lost yesterday with the Pistons. How bad were the Knicks? Gallinari only had 4 points. That should pretty much, you know, says it right there.
Yeah.
But they bounced back. Stoudemire, he had 37 points, 15 rebounds, and 7 assists. He was a triple-double threat. Raymond Felton, he had like 23 points, 11 assists. You know, he and Gallo, he bounced back, had 20 points. And the team, you know, it took them 2 overtimes to do it, but hey, they came away with the win.
Yeah, Gallinari had like 2-3 points in that second overtime.
Yeah, and he missed one in the first overtime, which I was PO'd about because they had 22 seconds in the game. You know, they all they needed was to do was make a bucket and they would have won. They didn't have to try to shoot a three, but I've been saying this for years. When Knicks need to shoot a, you know, score a 2-pointer, you know, they try to jack up a three and miss it. And when
mm-hmm.
they need a three, they drive inside and try to, you know, score a two, you know, a bucket and then a foul.
Yeah.
And they don't get fouled, and they miss the shot. So it's like this team.
Weird.
I don't know. In this recent history, this, how can I put it, this Scott Layden, Isaiah Thomas, and now into the Donnie Walsh regime, the Knick players, no matter who's wearing the Knick uniform, they always, I don't know, they don't have smart basketball IQ.
Yeah, And like you said, like at the, you know, they had a chance to win the game at the end of the regulation, but Gallinari shot a wide open three, and he was like, I'd say 5 feet away from behind the 3-point line.
Right.
So he was way too far to shoot that 3-pointer in the first place.
Yep.
But he missed it, and, you know. Well, what upset me even more was when they fouled Tayshaun Prince.
Right.
He made the shot, and he got fouled. It was an and-one, and he made the free throw.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
So he converted that 3-point play to tie the game.
I know. I mean, that really irked me as well. Because it was like, they scored like at least 4 points just on free throws. I mean, by like the counts and foulings. I mean, they were up. They were like up by six. For like, what, less than 2 minutes to go into the game? Or less than a little over a minute in the game.
Yeah.
And they stopped the clock, which the Pistons wanted to do. Rally back, and they scored at least four unanswered points on the Knicks without the Knicks even, you know,
I don't know,
even playing on the field because they stopped the time because of all these fouls.
Knicks have to learn, they have to play better defense, seriously, especially down the stretch.
They do, and they don't play zone defense. It's like just practically man-to-man, and, you know, they just, you know, exploit us, you know. They get a taller guy on a guy because, you know, they know the team practically doesn't help out the other teammate, which leads to, you know, open shots.
Yep, and there are a lot of open shots yesterday in that Atlanta game that we're
looking. Oh, my God. Crawford, man, he looked like when he scored that 50-point game with us a couple of years ago.
Man, it was all of them. It was Crawford, Bibby, Crawford.
Marvin Williams, they all were scoring on us. I mean, it was like, man, I was like Mike.
It was like practice.
It was like Mike Bibby from the like 2001 Kings or so. You know what I mean? Jacking up threes, nailing them.
I mean, yeah, it was like practice for them.
I know. It was like a game at Rucker Park.
That's what it felt like.
Man.
Like I said, I don't know what it is at the Garden. I don't know if it's the debris falling from the ceiling or I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
But they got to start playing better at MSG. I mean, that is their home court.
I know. Speaking of MSG, I don't know if you heard, but they're going to they're renovating MSG.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And one of the renovations is that they're going to have a bridge on
which
top
is dumb.
Of the thing. Huh? What are you saying?
That's dumb. I did hear about that. And they're going to have an overhead bridge.
Yeah, overhead. I mean, that's going to be crazy. People could fall to their death. I mean, people could drop food on overhead.
Exactly.
It doesn't sound like a good idea. People could fall, God forbid, people could fall to their death and onto the court.
That is crazy. That is insane. I hope they reconsider that. Because,
I mean, it doesn't make any sense for it to be that over the thing like that.
I mean, just add more seats. You don't have to build an overhead bridge or anything.
I know. I mean, it don't have to. I don't know. It's a disaster waiting to happen. I'm not saying it wouldn't look nice, but just the precautions. I mean, somebody could fall over because they're, like, literally on top of the players.
That's going to be distracting also. Like, when you look up people walking on like on that damn bridge, that's gonna be distracting a little bit too.
Imagine if, you know, the playoff game, the Knicks are actually good. How the people are gonna be jumping off their seats? They could fall right on top of the players. The bridge could fall on top of the players.
Yeah, that's gonna be crazy.
Dude, maybe that'd be the only way the Knicks could beat the Lakers if they weren't gonna be fighting. That'd be like that South Park episode. With that tap dancing episode, that You Got Served episode, like when they had like a dance contest and then
Butters was
dancing in the tap shoes and the shoe flew off and then it hit like this radiator and then it fell on the crushing on the whole their competition, and they said, oh no, the I don't know, the Orange City, whatever, they're dead. That means the South Park Diggity's won, and then you see everybody's cheering. But seriously, I mean,
I hope they don't do that.
They really need to reconsider it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds like a bad. I mean, the designs look nice, but you gotta look at the precaution. I mean, people could fall to their death. I mean, just a couple of days ago, or a week ago, a 2-year-old boy fell to his death at a Lakers game.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I mean, seriously. If they want to make a retractable roof, fine. But I don't know, a bridge over where people could sit and look over the thing. I don't know. That just sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go up there and sit. Forget about that.
I mean, seriously, you know, that's just a bad waiting to happen. Like, hey man, what's the score down there? Let me check. like Lakers 101 and Knicks are 101.
And I don't know how they're going to do that. I want to see how they're going to do that.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
That's going to be crazy.
Gotta, you know, they really need to squash that idea.
They said it'll be done by 2013.
Well, yeah, with this thing falling down, but they had that plan. They had that plan even before the asbestos. Alleged asbestos, situation.
Yep, no, I'm saying the render like that the bridge thing. They said they're gonna complete that by 2013.
Hmm.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And I think the Knicks, they're not gonna be playing in MSG for 2 years or something, right?
Yeah, something like that because they have to renovate it.
Yeah. So where they gonna play? Like what at Radio City and Radio City Music Hall or something?
Maybe. Who knows? Or maybe they were thinking about, I don't know, during that asbestos thing, maybe playing at that arena where the Nets used to play. I'm trying to remember, not the ISHA, the other one before that. Was it the
maybe the Civic Center, maybe in Connecticut, maybe.
Maybe there too. Who knows? But that old stadium in the Meadowlands, I forgot what they called it.
It could even play at Rucker Park. Who knows? Who knows? You never know.
Hey, you never know. But the Knicks are 9-9.
Yep, back at 500 now.
Yep. So they just got to keep this small momentum going. I mean, even though they're on the road, well, actually, they're coming back home against the Nets.
Oh, yeah, Tuesday night.
Yeah, so hopefully they can, you know, fix their home court problems.
You got to play better. I mean, come on, you guys, those fine-looking Knicks City dancers, they're dancing for you, and yet you can't play good for them?
Yep, maybe they're distracted. I mean, I can't blame them, but...
Man, please.
Come on, they're professionals.
I'll get motivated by that.
Not for real.
Yeah, I'll be scoring for like 40 points a game.
For real. Watch out, Will Chamberlain's record.
All right. Shit.
I'm talking about the 100 point. I'm not talking about the, you know, off the court thing.
Yeah. Because remember that day when we went? Remember when we went to the Knicks game and we saw those fine looking Knicks City dancer games?
Oh yeah.
I came off the bench. I scored 20 points.
Yeah, I think we actually won that game.
Yeah.
Let's use that for motivation.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. They're 7-4 away from MSG. You know. They definitely gotta play better at home. No excuse for that.
What's their record? I know they have 7 wins on the road, but what are their record on the road now? Like 7-5 or something?
7-4.
7-4, okay.
Yeah, and the final score of the Knick game was 125-116.
Yeah.
Good job by the fellas, and hopefully they will beat the Nets. You know, contain Brook Lopez, Devin Harris. Favors, you know, whoever else is on that team.
Yeah.
They just gotta stop those guys. And I do predict the Knicks win against the Nets.
I hope so. I mean, I can't stand the Nets.
I mean, Nets do play hard, you know. You know they're hard, you know they're a bad team, but they play hard.
You said not Jason Kidd Nets, you know.
Yeah, this isn't the big three with them. When they actually took over the city, Nets with Kenyon Martin.
And that was temporary.
Yeah, it was temporary for like 2 years or so.
But they'll never be the Knicks, never.
Yeah, I mean, even when the Nets were winning, I mean, they got some fans, but Knicks are the team. Knicks have the history.
Yeah.
You know that will always be the city in New York.
Yep.
Whether they move to Brooklyn, Manhattan, Staten Island, wherever.
We play in the Garden.
Park, you know.
I know we play in the Garden. We play near Broadway, Times Square. Your strip clubs. I mean, we're a much better team and organization than the Nets are.
New York, they have the history, you know.
Yeah.
Can't beat New York.
I'd rather go to an arena near strip clubs and restaurants and plays than go to an arena near garbage and and crime.
Well, that is something New York and New Jersey do have in common, crime, but
New
do
Jersey
have the history.
Has a higher crime rate, but I don't want to go into that. Let their governor deal with that. But they do have more garbage, our garbage.
But, you know, hopefully Knicks will keep this coming. Hopefully, at July 1st or wherever the free agent signing, hopefully Carmelo will come over.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
We need someone to tell about Amari.
Yeah. And I think LeBron is feeling, like LeBron said, last week? He said they're not having fun. So they thought winning a championship was easy. They could just dominate any team in the regular season, just walk into the playoffs. But they have a target on their back, and Wade is hurt. Stop me if you haven't heard that one before.
Hey, and check this out. The Heat, after losing to Dallas last night, they're 9-8, so they have the same record at this time of year that they did last time of the year. Last year, so.
Yeah, so there was
no improvement, really.
There isn't any so far. I mean, if they could get Wade healthy and, they play a more of a team concept and, actually stay healthy,
LeBron's an idiot, man. He could have came to New York, been the guy. He's stupid, man. That's an idiot.
Well, that's their problem. I think LeBron is starting to realize that he should have came to New York.
He's going to regret that. Watch.
He is definitely going to regret it. He probably is regretting it right now as he speaks.
Yep.
Coming to the Garden, when people used to cheer for him, he never even scored a bucket as a Knick. I mean, he's never played for the Knicks, obviously, but because the anticipation of him actually signing here this July, but he blew that. He, and then come with the decision thing that he had. Man, he's public enemy number one, except in Miami, so.
He's a dumbass.
He's going to realize that Miami, they don't care about. The only thing they care about is, football over there.
I know. And the beach.
And the beach, yeah. Getting tans and.
Partying, yeah.
Partying. But, man, he must have thought.
Cocaine.
Yeah, he must have thought this was the 80s Miami. He's in for a rude awakening.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I was watching, a show when they were talking about LeBron, and the fans were saying, win or lose, they don't care, because, hey, they live in Miami, so. So he don't have the passionate fans like New York.
I know, exactly.
And he didn't even know what he was playing, because it's a decision. He was saying how, he's taking his his game to South Beach. They don't even play in South Beach.
Please, man.
They play in American Airline Arena.
Yep.
They're not playing on the beach. He must have thought they were going to play on the beach, you know.
Man.
Outdoors or something. I don't know. But
he's peer pressured by Wade and Bosch to come over there.
His buddies, you know, that's his. What should he do? He should act what he should have did before he made the decision. Dude. That's his problem.
Oh, well.
That's his problem, and pretty much LeBron is no longer the king. He's the he's the jester.
He's the queen.
Dwayne Wade is the king of Miami.
Yeah.
Always has, always will be. Because no matter how many championships they win, if they win any championship.
And they're not going to win a championship, please.
I don't think they'll win it this year, but if they ever win any championship, Dwayne Wade will always have more than him.
If we get, what's his name?
Carmelo?
Carmelo? Yeah. Knicks could probably win a championship before Miami ever does.
Probably do, especially if they get Carmelo. Something's playing the way how he's playing.
Yeah.
2 years, and then they could get, you know, Chris Paul, you know, in 2 years or so. Boom, you know, that's a championship caliber team right there.
Yeah.
And if you could, you know, keep Gallo and all these young guys, you know, playing at the level they're playing right now, you know, they're going to be a threat.
Yep.
And the East is easy, man. Even though Knicks sucked, they were in what, third place?
I think they're like second place in their division.
Yeah, you're probably right. They probably are second place right now because, I mean, the East is whack. I mean, I love the East. I mean, that's what the Knicks play, but Eastern Conference is, man, it's weak.
Yeah.
It's been weak. It hasn't been strong since NBA on NBC. That's how weak the Eastern Conference is. Dude, when's Jordan?
But there's some good teams in the East. There's Orlando, Boston,
of course,
Atlanta.
There's less good teams than there are fingers on people's hands. Probably four or five good teams in the East.
Yeah.
All other teams are pretenders in the East. You got Orlando. You still got to put Miami in there because, you know, they got the talent. You know, if they could stay healthy, you know, they'll be a threat.
Yeah.
The Boston, of course. I'm trying to think of the other team who's a good team.
You got Orlando. There's Boston. There's the Miami.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the other team that.
Atlanta, of course.
Right. Atlanta's doing good, right. I don't know what Chicago's doing now, but they've always been a team in the playoff hunt, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to make the playoffs. Of course, they're, you know, light years away from the Jordan era.
Oh, yeah.
But they've always been a playoff contending team. And maybe Knicks could surprise some people and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, make a playoff appearance. Maybe win a round, lose in the second round, or maybe lose in the Eastern Conference. Who knows?
I'll be fine with that shit. The Knicks go to playoffs. I'm gonna go to a playoff game. Sure.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if you remember. I've always said this, man. And I've said that's about the Mets. I'd rather my teams, you know, not make it to the playoffs, you know, than to see them go to the playoffs and lose because it's all about winning a championship. But with the Knicks, they've been so bad for so long. They need some type of improvement. I'll sign up for a playoff appearance.
Yep, me too.
Just as long as they don't show up like they did in 04.
Mm-hmm.
In which they didn't show up when they got swept by the Nets. But come on, win some games. Try to win a round, man. Do some progress, man. I'll sign up for that.
Yeah, I mean, they probably will, most likely, with the East being, you know, not that great. They're 500 right now, so it's most likely they'll probably make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully they'll keep this momentum up, you know, on the road, and hopefully it'll translate at home, starting with Tuesday night against against the Nets.
Yeah.
But switching gears here, moving to a little baseball before we, you know, we go
baseball
to the NFL. So, like we were talking about earlier in the the opening moments of this show. Tuesday, Mets introduced their new manager, Terry Collins, the former Astro and former Anaheim Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Collins, he was a minor league field instructor with the team last year, and he got promoted against the fan favorite and my personal favorite, Wally Backman. And here's some audio from his press conference on Tuesday.
What do you think about that move? You're a Mets fan. Do you like your move?
I think, you know, it's a good move. But here's some of his thoughts about that.
A little bit. I love this job. I love the players. But my love for the game itself leads me to want the game being played correctly. And never take a second step to anything. It's going to be a new day, a new year. And it's going to, you know, when we get to spring training, we're going to start talking about confidence. You have to be confident to play this game. It's hard to play. The team on the other side of the field, they want to beat you as bad as you want to beat them. So if we can keep our players on that field, which is going to be our biggest goals, they buy into the fact that they're good enough and that the execution side needs to be improved, then there's no reason why we shouldn't have success. So they all want to win. That, you know, when you talk to them, you know, I had conversations with Carlos Beltran during rehab. One of the things he wanted to talk about was he wants to win. You know, anybody that I've touched with, you know, that's the common goal. And now we've got to make sure that this energy, they buy into it, they understand the meaning behind it all. And I truly believe that when there's dual respect on both sides, the players do take on the personality of the manager. And if that happens, you know, there'll be energy in Citi Field on a nightly basis. In our particular situation, we still got some young people here, some young guys that have played okay. They've played 2 and 3 years, but they're not that crusty veteran guy. And so they're still learning. And so there's some teaching going to be done. And our coaching staff, I think, when it's all put together, we'll make sure we lead them down that the right path. I look at our farm system right now, which is very, very strong. We're getting better. Contrary to what you might think, we've got some good young players coming. That's the future. And again, but knowing the personalities that are coming along the road, there's going to be a bright future here. I love this job. I love this game. And I will do whatever it takes to bring success to the New York Mets and win more ball games. And we want to be the last team standing next October.
Those are thoughts from the new Mets manager, Terry Collins. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, yeah, he sounds, you know, he's talking the talk, but, you know, you got to walk the walk when the season begins.
Yep.
And we hear a lot of these speeches from new general, you know, from new managers when they come to a new team. He's got to prove, you know, he can do the things that he's saying. He's got to lead a team that hasn't made the playoffs in, what, 3 years? 4 years?
Four years, and so six.
And, you know, a team that's not going to spend money this offseason. So you're basically going to have to use what he's got right now and basically lead them to the playoffs.
Yep. And a guy who, I teased, you know, and when I was giving my, you know, my monologue on the, you know, opening of the show, what we were going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
A guy I was interested in the Mets, you know, trying to get, you know, for, you know, a one-year deal, you know, inning incentive deal, a former Yankee, a two-time former Yankee. He has come into terms with the Marlins. Can you guess who he is? He's a pitcher, of course.
I do not know.
All right. The answer is Javier Vasquez. He agreed to a one-year deal with the Marlins.
Oh, who the hell cares about Javier Baez?
I knew you were going to say that. Something.
Who is him? Hey, he's proven he can't pitch in New York at all. Or in American League, so.
Yeah, he definitely can't pitch in he definitely can't pitch with the Yankees.
Screw him.
But I wouldn't mind them, you know, the Mets taking a shot at him for a fourth or fifth starter spot.
Well, he's with the Marlins now.
Well, yeah. So he's back in the National League as.
Yeah.
Should do well with them because he does well in the National
League.
And
he's getting older, too. So
good luck
with
that.
That's best.
Hopefully the Mets will whoop on his butt, you know, they face him.
Yeah.
But we shall see. And, you know, of course, Mets are going to be, like you spoke about, Mets aren't going to spend any money this year, as Alderson said in his press conference when he got hired by the Mets, so I'd say about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So Mets are pretty much going to be, you know, spending money on mid-level players at best, you know. And then next year when all the bad contracts are gone, Beltran, Castillo, and Oliver Perez, you know, they'll be able to, you know, compete, you know, in the free agent market for this year, for next year and in the future. But hopefully with his new assistants, J.P. Ricciardi, the former Blue Jay GM, and Paul D. Podesta, the former Dodger GM, hopefully they can find some diamond in the rough in the Rule 5 draft, the minor, you know, the minor league draft, and also through free agency and trade. So, because the Mets will definitely need it. They're not going to have the money.
I mean, Cliff Lee's a free agent. You guys should go after him. I mean, that should be. I mean, that's really messed up that you guys aren't going to spend any money.
Well, that's what he even clarified that he confirmed that they're not going to go after Cliff Lee. As much as I'd love them to go after Cliff Lee, I acknowledge that Alderson, at least he's being honest, because if it was Omar,
yeah,
you know, and I was a fan of Omar, you know, back in the, you know, when he first showed up, you know, and, you know, leading the team to the NLCS. But unfortunately, these last couple of years, with the whole Manny Ramirez debate and, you know, trying to go after Derek Lowe and all these other people,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying, you know, Omar's line is like, is always, you know, we're always interested in pitching, you know, we've got to, you know, we always have to improve the pitching, stuff like that. He always keeps saying that line, but they don't do anything.
Oh.
And then they sign some scrubby player, you know. But to his credit, he did get R.A. Dickey, you know, practically almost into retirement, but he pitched well for us last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the guy, you know, he does scout, you know, some mid-level players, and, you know, they've performed for the Mets. The problem is the veteran guys, you know, who aren't performing, and that's why Mets, you know, due to injuries and, you know, bad fundamental plays, they can't, you know, they haven't competed for the NL East since they won in 06. Since they've choked the division the last, since 07 and 08.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, I mean, I don't know how a general manager can say to his families, oh, you know, we're not going to spend any money, so. But basically what he's saying is, you know, okay, we're going to expect another losing season this year. That's basically what he's saying. Expect another losing season. Right? Don't you agree?
Well, in their mind, they're saying that they're going to compete, but I mean, if they're not doing, they haven't made any major moves yet. I mean, they let Takahashi go, who's being interested in all the other good teams in baseball, as the Yankees, the Phillies. I mean, you name it, all the teams, you know, all the teams are interested in him. You know, as a pitcher, as a bullpen guy, or maybe even as a starter. And Pedro Feliciano, a guy who they wisely offered arbitration, if he doesn't accept it, which his money, it should be a 1 year, $4 million contract, mm-hmm. which would be a raise from his, what, $2.5 million contract he had last year.
Yeah.
If he tests free agency, you know, the same teams that are interested in Takahashi are going to be interested in Feliciano.
Feliciano.
The lefty specialist. And I guess moving across town to the boogie down Bronx, the soap opera, you know, with the Yankees have turned ugly. You know, his brother, actually, Hank Steinbrenner. You know, they're playing hardball with their captain, Jeter.
Yeah, I mean, they offered Jeter 3 years, $15 million.
Right.
Jeter wants more. Want more years, more money. And, you know, the Hank Steinbrenner doesn't want to give him that much money. The money that he wants.
Apparently he
wants.
You know,
they don't own anything.
Apparently he wants, you know, A-Rod money. He wants to make like at least $22 million a year.
Yeah.
$15 million would make him already the highest paid shortstop.
Yeah, I mean,
coming off his worst year.
I mean, I'm on the fence because I love Derek Jeter. I think he's a man. You know, he's been clutch throughout his career with the Yankees. He's a World Series MVP. He's gonna be one of our greatest Yankees, greatest hitters ever. He's a future Yankee Hall of Famer, maybe possibly a MLB Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think he'll be both. I think he's a shoo-in for both, especially when he gets his 3,000 hit. You know,
yeah,
that'll solidify it, but. I think even without the 3,000 hits, I think if he retired today, he'd be a Hall of Famer based on, you know, all the stuff he brought, to the game.
Yeah, the guy
he's not a power guy, but he's a player that leads by example.
He's been a clutch performer. He gets girls like.
That alone should put him in the Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, I'm on the fence, you know, because on one hand, I think, Yankees should give him anything he asks for. But on the other hand, I mean, his numbers were down last year, you know, and they're already offering him, you know, $15 million for 3 years, which would make him the highest paid shortstop in baseball.
Yep.
And he'd be making more than Hanley Ramirez, who some consider the best offensive, probably the best shortstop in the game, so
I
don't know.
Offensive shortstop, I mean, Hanley Ramirez's defense, to me, he leaves much to be desired, but...
Yeah, well,
He's no doubt about it the best right now.
Yeah, but when you think after Hanley, which other shortstop behind him do you think of? Not there's not that many shortstops out there.
Yeah, I mean, one that comes to my mind... Good. Be Reyes when he's healthy, you know, he clearly doesn't have the power numbers, and he's not a great hitter as he is, you know.
Yeah.
Reyes, you know, Reyes is like a 280, a 300, a little over 300 type hitter, while Hanley Ramirez is like in the 330s. I mean, he's like a Pujols type hitter.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, this guy Ramirez is like, he's becoming like the cover boy for shortstops in baseball. So, I mean, Jeter, his numbers were Scudero-like. His Scudero, numbers. So.
You're right about that.
I don't know. I'm on the fence. So, whatever happens, happens. But it has gotten ugly. It didn't need to get to this point where it spilled into the tabloids and newspapers and stuff.
Yeah, Hank Steinbrenner is saying that, you know, they're giving these players getting more money than even their bosses. Paraphrase what he was saying.
Well, not the Yankee bosses, but some other bosses in baseball.
Well, yeah, the other small market teams.
Yeah.
But not the Yankees. I mean, Yankees are making billions.
That's true. Well, I don't know. They may be making more than the bosses when you think about it, because, I mean, not all that money goes to the bosses.
Mm-hmm.
There are some employees to pay, and they have to pay that stadium off. So it's possible that some of these players could be making more than the Steinbrenners.
Maybe, but I'll take some of their chump change. I don't mind.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Their cab fare. Yeah, their cab fare could buy a mansion.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, just a couple of days ago in the week, they had, like, back in newspapers, they had what if Derek Jeter, you know, they showed a photo of Derek Jeter wearing a Red Sox uniform, and I just don't see that happening.
No, he's never going to become Red Sox.
I doubt that. If he went there, if he actually went there, which I strongly doubt that would ever happen, but if he ever went there, I mean, that would just show.
That'd be weird.
A fraud. That would show how a fraud, you know, of a player, a person he is. You know, a guy who, you know, he a Yankee true and true. And then you not only would you leave the Yankees, but
well, he'd do it just to stick it to the Yankees, I guess. But.
No, but he'd be sticking it to his legacy.
Yeah.
Then again, in
the Yankee Red Sox rivalry, you've had players going back and forth between the two teams anyway. So.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be one of the loyal guys.
That's true.
I
remember a few like years ago, Bernie almost went to the Red Sox.
Yeah, but he
Yankees
did.
In 7. Yeah, he didn't. But you know, I mean, yeah, I would be surprised if that ever happened. If he ever went to the Red Sox,
I would be shocked too.
But I don't think it'll ever happen.
Everybody would be shocked. But I strongly doubt that would happen. But just shifting gears, with your Giants, a good one by Big Blue today.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good game. They came back. They were down like 17-6. And Eli Manning threw a pass to Boss to tie the game to make it 17-17. They scored on a 2-point conversion to tie the game. And then they scored the winning touchdown to Manningham. And they won the game 24-20 today.
Manning to Manningham.
Yeah, Manning to Manningham, because Akeem Nix and Steve Smith are two best wide receivers. They're injured right now. So.
Right.
Manningham had to carry the load today.
He stepped up.
He stepped up, and now the Jacksonville Jaguars, they had a chance to win the game, or... Yeah, they only had a chance to win the game, but the Giants sacked them, like, several times and stripped away the ball from them to, you know, to seal the game. So, good win by the Giants, and right now the Eagles are losing to the Bears, so it looks like the Giants will be tied for first place again with the Eagles.
That's good.
The Eagles end up losing today.
And another thing... That's a good one by Big Blue, you know. Definitely needed to step up. They haven't been playing that well recently, but especially that Cowboys game.
Yeah.
That was a nice bounce back, you know. But, and,
yeah.
Of course, against the Eagles, back-to-back, you know, divisional losses to,
yeah.
To their division. It was nice for them to get a win. But another team that's... That's first place with in the city is the New York Jets.
Yeah,
they had they're 9-2.
Mhm.
And they're gonna face in 8 days. They're gonna face against their rival Patriots.
Yeah, they're both tied. They both have the same record, 9-2. And this is for all the marbles. This is for the division.
Oh yeah. And Jets have a 3-0 record, I think, in the division, which is why by percentage points they're ahead of the Patriots. But they got to really step up. I mean, they clearly step up these last three games, especially and also against the Bengals. And Brad Smith was the MVP. I mean, he had like an 89-yard kickoff return. He scored another, I think, a 53 rushing. The other one.
Yeah.
The other time he scored, I mean, he definitely really stepped it up. You got to give kudos to Mark Sanchez and his tag team partner, Santonio Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
They're a potent 1-2 combination right there. Last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and so they've been getting criticized for not, you know, blowing out these teams. These teams that they've been playing aren't that really good.
Oh yeah.
They've been doing a lot of coming from behind.
Yep. And speaking about that win, here's a little audio from Rex Ryan after the win against the Bengals. If you don't mind, without further ado, and away we go.
We knew momentum was heading our way. The name is the Cowboys. Great freaking job. Team win. Again, special. Got it done. Defense got it done.
Yeah, loud and clear.
Yeah, here.
Hey, Brad, all 17. 200 total yards.
Everybody go see your thing. 1, 2, 3, and there you go. They're riding high. They're like their namesake. Like the Jets that they are.
And they should be. You know, they're 9-2. They're tied for first place, but you know, they gotta beat the Patriots though.
Oh yeah, the Patriots have been a nemesis.
And that's since
Belichick. Belichick left the Jets.
Yeah.
When he was a footnote in Jets history as their head coach briefly, when he replaced the tuna Bill Parcells when he stepped down.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna be in Foxborough, and you know, the Patriots, they're undefeated at home, so it's gonna be tough.
Oh yeah, definitely gonna be tough. And another thing, speaking of which, former Patriot and former Jet, the fourth all-time rusher in Jet history, Curtis Martin, he's one of the 26 semifinalists for the Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, in February they'll announce it, and in August that's when they'll have the induction. So by Friday we'll find out if he'll officially, if him and... You know, Deion Sanders, among the other players that they mentioned in the thing,
cool.
If they'll be inducted, we'll find out February, I believe, 5. So
okay.
Keep an eye out on that, and we'll all find out whether or not if he will, in fact. Because when it all said and done, this guy, you know, he is a future Hall of Famer. He will eventually make it. So
yeah.
We shall see. But switching gears, a little recap of the NHL. Nothing really much changed from last week. You know, the Rangers are 14-10-1. The Devils, they're 8-14. Rangers won 2 straight. The Devils are on a winning streak. And
let's go, Rangers!
That's right. And for the Islander fans, they finally won a game. They've had, 14 winless streak. So, congratulations to them. They improved to 5-12.
Go,
yeah, 5. So, the Rangers are doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. And speaking of an organization that's doing their thing, WWE, I mean, Raw, it's actually been good these last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. 2 good Raws. And the Miz won the title.
Yeah, I was shocked. I'm still surprised about it.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I mean, to coin Miz's phrase. That the week before that they had the old school Raw.
Mm-hmm.
This past Monday after Survivor Series, Randy Orton was in a rematch, and prior to the match, Nexus, you know, jumped him.
Yep.
And then he successfully retained the title because Wade Barrett hit hit Randy Orton with his finishing move, the Wasteland. And when he was about to get the three count, which I thought he was actually going to do it, Cena, who got fired after giving a heartfelt speech, which sounded like a pretty realistic farewell speech, but he comes out of nowhere, out of the crowd, and he pulls the referee off his leg, you know, from stop preventing the referee from counting the three count. How he didn't get disqualified, or I don't know if it was a no disqualification match, I'll never know, but he stopped the count, and then the rest of Nexus, except for Wade Barrett, ran after him. Then afterwards, Randy Orton caught him with a classic RKO, pinned him, and then out of nowhere, Randy Orton, I mean, while he's, you know, celebrating his title defense, Miz comes out of nowhere running, this time for real. He's actually, you know, cashing in the money in the bank, and I'm shocked. I'm like, is he really going to do it or something? Or is he trying to, you know, trick us like he did when he was fighting against Sheamus for a couple of months ago? He was going to use it, and then afterwards he waved it off because someone's going to attack him. So he actually fought, and for the first time since somebody cashed in the money in the bank, they actually had a mini match, you know. It wasn't like a typical Money in the Bank ladder match. You know, the person just do their finishing move and then pin the person like 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
This was actually a battle between Miz and Randy Orton. I mean, it was a short match. I said maybe what 5 or 10 minutes, but it was. I mean, it told the story. I mean, Randy Orton looked like he was going to retain it. He was going to hit Miz with the RKO, but then Miz reversed it into the skull crushing finale for his first ever WWE win, championship win. And congratulations to the Miz.
Yeah, and the kids were upset after that.
Oh, yeah. The Cena kids were really pissed, especially this girl that some people are calling her the Demon Girl or Undertaker and Kane's younger sister or something. The girl was so pissed off. She looked like she could be in the remake of Carrie or something.
Yeah, she was mad. A lot of the kids were mad.
Oh yeah, there was kids that were shocked. They act like they found coal underneath their stockings at Christmas. And there was this mom, you know, a Cena fan also, of course. She was bored. She was like. She was about to go to sleep or something. It was classic, the reaction that was happening. If that girl is an actress, man, they should give her an Oscar because she really felt, you know, the disappointment of the Cena fans and maybe Randy Orton fans.
Yeah, she was pissed off.
She can really act that. I don't know if she's acting or if she's really a fan, but hey, kudos.
She's probably a fan. She's probably really a fan. I don't know, because she probably does. Maybe she likes Randy Orton.
But you know how wrestling is. They plant people in. But.
Yeah, but that was a kid. Come on.
You know, that's just true, but I have to agree with you. I think that was a real moment.
Yeah.
But next, tomorrow, they have a shot to be good 3 in a row with this King of the Ring. They're expecting Sheamus. Spoiler alert, maybe Sheamus might win. Triple H might return. That's over for now. In TNA, they got the whole immortal NWO wannabe thing with Jeff Hardy as a champion. We'll see how that goes out. SmackDown, the usual. Good performance. You know, they had Kane versus Edge, and he kidnapped Paul Bearer, and Kane showed a sense of it. But we'll talk more about that next week. Thank you, ladies, for listening, for coming on the show. See you guys next week.